Please help me give him a warm welcome.
Hey everybody, my name's Matt. I'm an alcoholic.
I'm Matt.
Billy asked me Wednesday to speak, and you know, my heart was filled with a desire to leave town. And, no, really, I'm just kidding, Billy. I really appreciate you asking, you know, and it was an honor. But I did ask my sponsor. I got to call my sponsor, you know, because, you know, I'm at 65 days of sobriety today, and I'm only on step 4. So without selling myself short, I called my sponsor, and I said, hey, what do you think? And he goes, well, I'm coming to the meeting you're at, so we'll talk. And we did, and he goes, well, I'm going to think about it during the meeting. And I was like, okay, dude. Following him in, I'm thinking, man, I'm not wide enough as it is. Come on. I don't need any more gray hairs. And but I knew that that meant that he wanted to kind of reflect with God, think about it, and, you know, see where I'm at, kind of evaluate the situation. And afterwards, he said, yeah, I think you should do it. You know, you shouldn't say no to an AA request. And so I called Billy back, and I told him I'd do it. You know, I'd be honored to do that. And you know what? There's nothing really to be nervous about, to be honest. I'm talking about me, my favorite subject. Come on. So anyway, I'll start off with saying, you know, I was born here in Santa Maria, April Fool's Day, 1971, to my dad George and my mom Doris. And I don't have a lot of memories of my early childhood. Nothing trauma-wise. I don't really have a lot of memories, but I remember when I was about 8, you know, my dad used to take us camping a lot. And we'd go to Nacimiento, Lopez Lake, Chuma Lake, different places like that, and occasionally I'd get to bring a friend. And my parents were drinkers. So the cool, you know, you open up the cooler to get a Dr. Pepper, and it's full of beer. So, you know, obviously we grabbed some beers, and we were up in the oak trees drinking some beer, and that's kind of how it started for me. And later on, you know, as I got home, you know, my father had one of those dispensers. I don't know if anybody remembers those, but you put a half gallon on it and you pull the handle, and then you didn't have to hold the bottle. You could just kind of right into the cup. So I would load that up, you know, and hide it under the cabinet, and at the end of the night I would grab that. And I remember at like 9 or 10 years old, I was drinking vodka, you know, in my room watching TV or playing Atari or something like that. And it just got worse from there, you know. I was an alcoholic from the first time I drank. And, you know, it just... And then I started playing sports. I played football. I played Orchid Youth football and stuff like that. And I found out early on that, you know, when I hit someone, knock them down, knock their ass on, you know what I mean? Everybody go, yeah! So that, to me, translated in my mind, that's a good thing, you know. To be aggressive is a good thing. So that mixed with alcohol, I'm going into high school, and man, that did not help me at all. And so I started drinking a lot and started getting in trouble with the law. And I'm sure y'all can relate to that. And, you know, I started going to jail. And next thing you know, I was on probation. And after that, I was on felony probation. And I remember probably I was 19, no, I was 20. And I had already pre-enlisted in the Navy, and they had me on this delayed entry type program, and 9 months after that I was supposed to go to the Navy. So I got into a fight in Los Alamos, and I was in a bar, I think the Lariat they called it back then, I don't know if anybody remembers that, but we're drinking, and I was power drinking by then, heavy duty alcoholic, daily drinker, and the guy I was playing, this black guy, I'm not a racist, I'm just using this as an example. Black guy I was playing pool with was a guy I think I played sports with when I was a kid. So he was beating me at pool, so I went whack on his butt. Good game, dude. And he just hauled off and belted me. So next thing you know, I had this beer in my hand, I busted his face with it. And now I'm in the county jail for assault with a deadly weapon, drunk, and going before the judge. And the recruiter in Santa Maria, the Navy recruiter, he appears in court and goes, hey, he enlisted. We want him. You know, we want this guy. The judge goes, you want to go in the Navy? And I'm like, yeah, I want to go in the Navy. It's a free ticket out of jail, right? And so the judge goes, okay, misdemeanor, no probation. Straight to MEP Center, straight to boot camp. And that lasted about, yeah, wonderful, huh? That lasted about 10 months. And 10 months in the Navy. When I was in actual boot camp, the 3-month boot camp, you know, I made master arms in my company. They pinned a chevron on me. I was very proud of that. I excelled very quickly in that. And then I got in trouble, and they pulled it off me and humiliated me in front of 80 guys. And my drinking took on a whole new level in the Navy. You know, you could be 17 years old and drink in the service. Did you know that on base? And, you know, so there was power drinking going on and all that stuff. And finally I got out of the Navy and came back to Santa Maria, you know, with my tail between my legs again. My father helped me out again. And I started getting in more trouble. I found myself in and out of jail constantly. And next thing you know, I'm off to prison. State prison in California on a K number. And for violence and stupid shit like that. And you know, when I was in prison, I participated with and saw some ugly shit, man. And it's all behind drinking, you know. I'm not going to blame alcoholism or the addiction or the disease of alcoholism for the decisions that I made, but I'll tell you right now, it was a factor in my life. And so in and out of prison, 10, 15 years. Last time I went to prison, I was living in Lompoc with my wife and my little baby. And this was February 26, 2012. She had kicked me out, and I was living in Santa Maria at my mom's. And I went over there for whatever reason, whatever drunken reason, and she shut the door on me. And I'm not proud of this at all. I kicked the door right off the hinges. Bam! The whole thing came off the frame. And it hit her in the face, broke her nose, knocked her down. She was hurt bad. And I immediately realized I made a mistake, and I look over, and my little girl is cowering underneath the kitchen table. Wow, man, that was some heavy stuff. You know, the book says, we will not regret the past nor wish to shut the door on it. Yeah, I'd love to shut the door on that. But, you know, I can't forget that, you know, and I do regret that, too. I regret doing that, absolutely, 100%. That's one thing in the book that I disagree with. I do regret that. And so I'm off to prison again. And, you know, by this time I have a rap sheet that's so intense that if I get in trouble for anything, man, I'm off to prison. No questions asked. So I go through that again. And while I'm in there, what does my wife do? She sends me these big, beautiful packages with watches and hats and headphones and shades full of goodies and stuff like that, writes me letters, has my daughter send me these, you know, little drawings and stuff from school. This is the kind of woman she is, you know. But I couldn't see that, though, because I was playing the victim. It was all your fault. And so I gotten out from that and got into drinking again. And where are we at here? Okay. So I got into drinking again. You know, I didn't learn my lesson at all. Why? Because it was all everybody else's fault but me. And it progressed again. And I'd come in and out of the program pretty steadily over the last, you know, almost 20 years. You know, and a lot of faces are very familiar. You know, I was, one thing I can say I did have, though, is I kept coming, man. I'm tenacious. You know, I knew where to go for help, even though I didn't want to do the work for it. I knew where to go. And it was this place right here. And so, you know, last September, I had gone in and out of detox, too, over the last 3 years since I got out of the prison. And, you know, last September, September 5th of last year, I had just taken a 38, this is my 24-hour tip. I carry this at every meeting now, and I keep it in my hand like a talisman, man, because I know I got to only do this thing one day at a time, right? But last September, I had just taken a 30-day chip over at the 1600 Club, and somehow I ended up on the other side of town towards where Taco Bell is over there, Carmen Lane area, and don't remember the day at all. I guess the drinking or whatever, but I walked out in front of a car somehow and got hit at 45 miles an hour. You know, I thought it was an SUV or a truck or this and that, but I found out later, and I just want to clarify for the group that it was a small vehicle, small car, like it matters, right? You know what I mean? Car, truck, whatever. So they hell-lift me to Santa Barbara. I have a broken back, a traumatic brain injury, severe traumatic brain injury, and two busted legs, all the tendons are ripped out of my knee. I'm a mess, man. Everything kind of, I don't remember anything for 2 months. And then 2 months later, I sit up in the hospital bed, and there's my wife. And that's all I remember for that 2 months. So it was, you know, Billy came and saw me in the hospital and, you know, talked to me and stuff like that. No memory of that at all. Can't remember any of it. Sarah came and brought me red vines, this and that. Can't really remember that. And a lot of people from AA came to see me, and I'm grateful for that. But it was a hard road. You know, I've gone through a lot of therapy. I went through surgeries. It put me back together. And, you know, I got addicted to prescription medication. You know, they gave me morphine, oxycontins, hydrocodone. I had all the dope. You know what I mean? And I started getting into that, and that was a problem. And what that did is just gave me right back to Jack Daniels, which was my long-lost friend, you know, my only love. And that did not change my drinking, you know. So I was drinking again. And I remember I was in Lompoc. I was renting a room so I'd be close to my wife and my kid. And, you know, that didn't matter. That wasn't enough. But I was in renting this little room in this house. I was still drinking, man. Still doing my thing. You know, I was trying to get help from Lee, but you know what? You can only help somebody if they want to help themselves. I found that out. You know, I know that to be true today. So I was in that ugly spot, you know, and I moved from Lompoc back over here to live in my mom's house. And, you know, the last night I drank was the 22nd of April of this year, 64 days ago. And I woke up on the 23rd. Of April, and I have to tell you, you know what, I had a sick feeling inside, man. You know, I had all that stuff that I had done to my family, to my friends, you know, all that misery back there, undealt with resentments and fear and all that shit. But not only that, but I just knew that something really bad was going to happen next, like death. And not that I was already right there, but that wasn't enough. You know, I knew it was coming this time. I had that pitiful, incomprehensible demoralization, and I knew it. And so I got up, Jack Daniels on my breath, on the 23rd of April, and I fell on my knees, man. I prayed out to God. I begged Him. I said, please, man, I don't want to do this anymore. I don't want to hurt anybody anymore. I don't want to hurt myself anymore. Just please guide me. Treat me like a sick, stupid kid. You know, do anything. You know, I'm a retard. Help me, please. You know, I prayed for 20 minutes, man. Snot and tears running down my face. And, man, that's real. That's me. That's what happened. And immediately after that, I talked to Lee, you know, and I got into the work immediately. I threw myself into this program with a vigor and an intensity that I'd never had my whole life. I said, I'm going to go to a meeting every day. Now I do 3 meetings a day. I got a couple sponsees, you know, and Lee goes, hey, you know, you need a real commitment. He goes, making coffee and all that, you know, greeting people and all that's all good, but I need you to have a real commitment. So after a meeting one day, I was sitting there, I was thinking, all right, what do I got to do here? What's a real commitment? First thing that popped in my head was the homeless shelter. So I went over there and I talked to the program director and I said, hey, I got a lot of experience in prison kitchens. You think that'll help out here? You know, and they're like, yeah, you can do scullery and mop floors and all that. So I started doing that. And it was like 2 hours a night, 5 nights a week. And I remember seeing those people come in. I still see them today. And they're like, hey, Matt. And, you know, maybe I was the only one to be able to smile at them that day and say, hi, how you doing? You know, make them feel respected a little bit, you know. And I intuitively knew that that's what I needed to do. Man, there was a fire under my ass. I needed to do something now. So I did. You know, I did that, and I'm not saying that to brag, I'm saying that just that's my story, you know, and I did that for about 3 months, and then I needed to intensify my meetings, so I was missing some meetings, so I started going to 3 a night, or 3 a day, and I got a couple new kids I'm working with, and they're teaching me quite a bit about this program. You know, one of them went to church with us, me and Glenn, a couple weeks back, and right before the service, we got down and we did a third step prayer on the altar. You know what I mean? And there was no, I didn't worry about it because I know there's a God. You know, I know there's a God in my life today. And I know that was the best place to go to do that. And I wanted to have the biggest impact on Him. It was about Him. But man, I got from that. I got huge from that. You know, and about 3 weeks ago, you know, Glenn and I work out. And we go to the gym every day. We do morning meetings and then we go to the gym. Bam. It's like a ritual now. It's keeping me sober. He's my accountability partner. You know what I mean? I need that. So we go to the gym, and we've been going pretty steady. And about a month ago, 3 weeks ago, there's this guy in the gym, right? And I never liked the guy. Never. No reason, though. I just didn't like the way he looked, the way he walked, but I'd never seen him say anything sour to anybody. He never said nothing wrong to me or anything like that. So one day I said, you know what, I'm trying to do this deal right now. So I walked up to him and I introduced myself. And the funny thing about it is I really liked him. He had a good personality, you know. He was a solid dude. And I had my brace on my knee. And he goes, hey, what's up with that brace on your knee? And I go, oh, you probably wouldn't remember this. It was on the news, you know, last September. I got hit by a car. And, you know, they hella lifted me to Santa Barbara to Cottage Trauma Unit. And his whole face changed as I was telling him this. He was like, and I was like, I got a breast tank or something, you know what I mean? And he goes, I should remember, I was the lead paramedic on your scene. He goes, I intubated you. To those that you don't know, that's the thing they put down your tube, your neck, so you can breathe. So basically, this guy saved my life. And then he goes, I ordered the HeliLift to Santa Barbara because Marion Hospital doesn't have a level 1 trauma center. He goes, I seen guys like you all the time. You weren't going to make it if you went there. Mm-hmm. So I ordered you to go there. I'm thinking, man, that's two of you. You saved my life in two ways. And all I could think about, you know, after I gave him a big hug, you know, and all I could think about was my first response was I didn't like the guy. I didn't like him. And he didn't do nothing. But what he did is he saved my life. And that thing that happened right there shook up my whole life, man, in a huge way. And I knew God was right there in my life, man. And I know that my thing is to help people in this program. And the more that I read the Big Book, listen to Joe and Charlie, talk to Glenn, come to meetings, I know that my purpose is to help other people. The writing's on the wall, man. And my sponsor had me memorize this, or he said that this was his favorite part in the book, and I took the liberty to memorize it. It's the top of page 20. It says, our very lives as ex-problem drinkers depends upon our constant thought of others and how we will help meet their needs. Constant, without ceasing, always turning the focus from Matt to somebody else. And every time I do that, I feel so good inside, man. I can't even explain to you how good I feel. I love the fact that I'm an Alcoholics Anonymous, and I love this program. It's changing my life. So, you know, that's what I'm doing today. And you know, another part of my purpose that I know is today is, you know, I want to teach my little girl the difference between a man that, you know, flatters her and a man that compliments her. I want her to teach her the difference of that. A man that, you know, spends money on her or invests in her. I want to show her the difference through my actions. You know, a man that lusts after her and a man that loves her. A man that thinks that he's God's gift to women and a man that knows that woman was God's gift to man. No, I want her to know that through my actions. And I really know that that's why I'm here today. Why I didn't die in that car crash, because I should have. And, you know, we talk to, you know, Eddie all the time. I know his name now. And I love that dude, man. I'd do anything for him. You know, the guy saved my life. And we talk to him. You know what? He has nothing but good things to say all the time. What did he say the other day, Glenn? He goes, helping others. Got to help others, you know. That's his whole focus. And what I'm seeing in the Big Book and meetings and church, everywhere I look, the writing's on the wall. Help others. Forget yourself, Matt. It's about other people. And I'm not perfect at this. I probably never will be, but I'm going to give my effort for this now. And, yeah, I've been through a lot. You know, I've done a lot of bad stuff. And, you know, if you looked at my history, it would read like a piece of shit. That's the kind of human being I was my whole life. Today I take the time to help people, you know, and it ain't about me, and I don't care what anybody thinks because my sponsor tells me this is right, my God tells me this is right, the book tells me I'm right, church. So that's where all the focus is. It's out here to you guys. So I don't know if you got anything out of that, but I'm going to stop right there. Thank you.
Right on. Well, thank you, Glenn, and thank you, Matt. Another hand for the two. And now I'll turn the meeting back over to our secretary, Billy.